Amen. Y'all can be seated. God's going to turn it around. And sometimes I'm an encourager. I'm not a preacher. I'm not really an evangelist or a teacher. I'm an encourager. And I love to go and encourage people because God has encouraged me. And I like to give back. What God has given me, I like to give it back into his people. And so that song, I love it because it's just one of those songs that when you're working around the house and it comes on, you're like, God said he will turn it around. You're cleaning up. Oh, God said he will turn it around. And yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And before you know it, you're dancing all over your house because God has completely encouraged you through a song or a word. Or a text. See, a lot of people think that God's just up there watching everything going on. You know, this, the corona mess, and we got all the riots over here, and my financial problems over here, and all these things. And that God's just sitting up there just watching, and man, they sure are making a mess of things. But that's not the God that I serve. He is concerned about every single detail. Every single detail. I had gone fishing the other morning with my husband. We got up 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, I love to fish when I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get in a boat. And we went fishing and I watched the sun come up and it was so glorious watching the seagulls and the pelicans just flying by, and we were catching too. I mean, I caught 20 fish. I caught the biggest fish, by the way. I got the biggest fish in the boat. Thank you. I'll fish my husband. But while I was watching all that, I was just, you know, I had been going through so many different things, especially in this season that our nation is in. And God just, he just has a way of ministering to me and just the strangest ways. And so as I'm watching this, you know, I'm like, wow, let me take a picture of this. So I took a picture and then I posted the picture and I put, he is a God of the details. And because I was just amazed at how detailed every color, the clouds had red tones and the sky had orange and yellow tones and the water was all different colors. And it was like God was very detailed when he did that, right? And so I put that post online, you know, he's the God of the details. And I'm still going through my stuff. And I have the habit of putting YouTube on and I'll start with one preacher and then I'll just let it kind of roll until, you know, I hear somebody and I know you whacked out, and I'll click over and go to the next person. And as I was listening, this guy said, God said he is the God of the details. And it was as if God wanted to make sure I understood that that was a word from him. I am a God of the details. I am concerned about every single detail. Sometimes we think, well, God's concerned about my health. You know, I believe that. And he might be concerned about, you know, my family and my job. But when it comes to the smaller things in our life, we feel like, you know, God's not that concerned with that, you know, because so I'm not going to bring that to him. I'm not going to bring those things to him. And when we think that way, what happens is we get into a mentality that God is not God over all. He's only God over some. And when we allow the enemy to put those thoughts in our head, then he can take us and we can run with that. And before we know it, we're not taking everything before our Father because we think, well, he's not really interested in that. He's not really interested in me. You know, he might be interested in some of the, you know, prayer warriors in my church or maybe the pastor and his wife. But, you know, this thing that I'm struggling with at home by myself, this is so simple. You know, everybody else would probably laugh that this is causing me to be depressed. But God is concerned. He cares. He loves every single one of us. And so the enemy will start telling you these things, and he'll just feed you one tiny lie laced in the truth at a time. Until he doesn't even have to lace it in truth. He just flat out tells you lies. And you take them in. And before you know it, you're thinking, God doesn't love me. You wonder how a preacher can commit suicide. It's because he allowed the enemy just one little spot in his life. And before he knew it, the enemy had taken over. We have to be vigilant to know the difference between God's word and the enemy. Sometimes we might think it's just my thoughts, but the enemy uses your thoughts to defeat you. That's why we have to be in his word. We have to be washed in his word. He said the washing and the renewing of our mind daily, every day. Because I know some Christians who feel like that there's no more hope for them. That things are so bad that there's no way God can change these circumstances. And that God can't take care of this. And God's too busy trying to keep the world together. But I want you to know tonight, it ain't over. Don't give up. It is not over. God is not done with you. Amen.
Somebody here needs an answer to the questions, the fears, and the whys. Somebody here is desperate for freedom from the past, the chains, and the lies. Feel like you've wasted so much time. Wanna move ahead, but you're still last in line. Feel like your running will never end, and you will never win. Well, I don't know who told you you would not make it. And I don't know who told you you could not take it. I don't know who told you it's time that you quit. But my God said, wait, it ain't over yet. Somebody here, yes, needs an answer to the questions, the fears, and the whys. Somebody here is desperate for freedom from the past, the chains, and the lies. Feel like you've wasted so much time. Wanna move ahead, but you're still last in line. Feel like your running will never end, and you will never win. Well, I don't know who told you you would not make it, and I don't know who told you you could not take it. I don't know who told you it's time that you quit. See, my God said, wait, it ain't.
Somebody here, you need an answer. Somebody here, you've been wanting to give up. See, somebody here, you've been ready to quit, but my God said, wait, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. The enemy wants you to think that it's over and there's no way that God can redeem this. But my God is a redeemer. If you look through his word over and over and over and over, every story is a story of redemption. Even when you're reading about Israel falling backwards, constantly, they take a step forward and then 10 steps backward and then one step forward and then 50 backwards, it seemed like. But that's us. We are Israel. We are the ones doing that. And God says he can redeem these things. He can restore these things. All of us have some type of hidden secrets in our life. We all have something that we've hidden away. We don't want people to know that's there. You know, I say every family has their skeleton. And they don't want people to know that there's a skeleton in there. I wonder who came up with that. That's weird. See, I told you I was ADD. His brain. But you wonder. You know, we look at people and we see them, they're all cleaned up and looking sharp and always got the smile on their face. And you wonder, are they hiding something? Is there something hidden? See, in my family, we had that look, you know, that perfect family with all the kids all walking in a row, you know, we all sat on the same pew at church, and it was amazing. I said my mom was Inspector Gadget because she could go from where she sat to the eighth kid all the way at the bottom, slap you in the back of the head, and it's like Mama had go-go gadget arms, man. It was just like they could just reach down and she'd smack you in the back of the head. Those of y'all with large families understand that joke. But you see, when you looked on the outside, everything looked perfect. Just like every other family, they looked perfect. But where there is people, there is sin. Right? That's why Christ came as our Redeemer, as our Restorer, to bring us back to the original place that he intended us to be when he created the world. Right? So, you know, you can stop holding your breath. It's like we know everybody's got some type of skeleton in their family or in their own life that they're trying to hide. But the enemy wants you to keep things hidden to keep you from growing. See, hidden things keep light from shining on them, because when the light shines on them, then they're revealed. So the enemy wants us to keep things hidden so that they're not revealed to everyone to look on and to have their opinion about, or for God to see. You think God can't see your hidden secrets? He's well aware of them. But we hide them away as if there's a way that God's not going to know that this is who I am, really. And we may not want to be this way. But freedom comes when the light comes in. That's why Christ came. He came as the light to the world to shine a light in the darkness, to reveal the things that the enemy is doing so that we could be restored back to him. And so that's why it's so important that we not allow the hidden things to remain hidden. And we search our heart and we say, God, what is it that's keeping us from growing, from going forward? What is causing me to stumble? In our family, it was sexual abuse. And for a while, I dealt with that from the time I was 6 till I was 16. And I tried to keep these things hidden. But when things start to build up, you start realizing that there's no way that you can keep it all to yourself. I'm going to have them play a video that I'm going to sing to. And this song represents who I was as a child, as a grown woman. And it may represent quite a few of you. It may be your sister, your mother, your neighbor. And I want you, as we play this video and I sing, I want you to start wondering, do I have things that I need to bring to the Lord? So that when we get done with this time together, you'll understand how freedom can restore your life. Let's go ahead and play that.
Little girl cries in the night from the abuses in her life that won't go away. She is forced to keep it quiet. Her pain grows in the silence along with her shame. A weight she shouldn't have to bear. Hidden secrets, no one's strong enough to keep them. Only Jesus has the healing power to free us. So let him come and redeem those hurts so deep. So let's give to Jesus our hidden secret. Battered wife hides all the marks, ugly bruises on her arms, so no one will know. She's afraid to tell her story, raise a flag or give a warning. She grieves all alone. A weight she shouldn't have to bear. Hidden secrets, no one's strong enough to keep them. Only Jesus has the healing power to free us. So let him come and redeem those hearts so deep. So let's give to Jesus our hidden secrets. He will heavy chains. Hidden secrets, no one's strong enough to keep them. Only Jesus has has the healing power to free us. So let him come and redeem those hurts so deep. So let's give to Jesus our hidden secrets. Oh, hidden secrets. No one's strong enough to keep them. Only Jesus has the healing power to free us. So let him come and redeem those hearts so deep. So let's give to Jesus. Let's give to Jesus. Let's give to Jesus our hidden secrets.
God wants to free us from these things. When you're born, everybody's born with a little baggage, right? I mean, the Bible says we've all been born in sin. So it's, you know, reasonable to say that we all have a little baggage that we carry around with us. And there's two things that are going on. There's one, God is trying to lead you in his direction. From the time you were conceived, he has tried to steer you in his direction by giving you parents that are Christians or in church or some way, some type of influence, whether your neighbor picked you up and took you to Sunday school or some type of way. He started steering you in his direction. But at the same time, the enemy was right there. He may have tried to get your parent to abort you. Or you might have been born in a home that did not have Christian parents and did not have caring neighbors. And as you walk through your life, those two things begin to fight one against the other. And that's how it was in my life. I was born into a Christian home, knew the Bible, memorized scripture. That was part of our daily life routine. My mom could make up the best stories, Bible stories, to get a point across. And the enemy at the same time could see, you know what? God said he has a plan for every one of his creatures. I don't know what the plan is for her, but I'm going to do everything I can to keep her from going there. So when I was 6 and the abuse started, that thing got added to my bag. And I started carrying that abuse around with me everywhere I went. A lot of people didn't see it. You know, might have been in my attitude sometimes. It might have been the way I acted at school or whatever, but I carried that around. Along with that type of abuse came, you know, pain. And so pain became a part of my life, and I just started adding that to my bag to carry around with me. I've got my pain. I've got my abuse, if I can get it in my bag. See, God was trying to keep me from putting it in the bag, and he's like, no, no, don't put it in there. But I got my pain in my bag. God sent Sunday school teachers to teach me wonderful things and a wonderful godmama. Man, I loved sitting at her feet and listen to her talk about God. Oh, man, when she talked about God, it just made me light up, and I'd sit there. And when I was 8 and a half years old, she led me to Christ. She didn't know that I had pain and abuse in my bag. But she gave me some sense of hope. A matter of fact, she said that I was baptized in the Spirit with laughter because I laughed for an hour and a half over nothing. Right after I got saved, I was just so full of joy. And the enemy was not pleased with that. He was right there to cause me whatever pain he could. Distractions, whatever he could. I began to grow up, and as I grew up, I started picking up, you know, different things. Anger. Put it in the bag. God tried to keep me from putting it in the bag. But I'd put it in the bag. And I'd carry it around. And that sweet little girl that was always, you know, kind of quiet, loved to sing, she became very angry all the time, sullen. I was always, you know, just dealing with looking at all the different things down here. And it's like I got some self-pity over here and I've got some things over here. Let me see what else I have over here. I've got some depression. Oh, the depression really hit me in my teen years, and I started thinking about committing suicide. I wanted to die, and I asked God. We were at a beach. I couldn't swim. Still can't. And I'm standing at the beach, and I'm looking out at the horizon, and I said, God, I want to die. And I'm going to walk out in this water. And if you care anything about me, you'll let this water overflow me and pull me out. Because I didn't want to commit suicide. I just wanted to die. And there I stood on that edge, wanting to die, scared to live. But see, God had a plan for me, and he didn't allow me to go through with that. I had a teacher in school who would watch me sleep in class, and she just knew something was off about me. She just knew something was off. And so she started asking questions, and before I knew it, I told her what was going on at home. And so my life then just went crazy. And I fell into a pit of self-pity that you wouldn't believe. I was just so sorry for myself, because now not only have I been abused at home, and now I'm depressed and I can't die. I don't want to live. All these different things. Can you hear the self-pity in all of it? 16 years old. So I started talking to a man who I thought would give me some joy and some hope, and I thought he loved me. I thought he cared, you know. And the enemy knew exactly what I needed to have a distraction away from what God was trying to do. See, that teacher that told was a born-again Christian who was praying for me on a daily basis. And she would come up to me and she said, I'm praying for you. Let me help you. Let me talk to you. She would try to counsel me. But the anger, the bitterness, all of this stuff that I was carrying around that was beginning to, you know, weigh on me. I was in love with that. You know, I wanted to keep all this because this was mine. This is who I am. We say that our circumstances mold us into who we are. But God's word is what is supposed to mold us. His word is supposed to mold us. So anyway, I'm carrying this stuff around, and before I know it, I'm talking to this man, and before I know it, I'm totally involved with him, talking to him on the phone all the time, and I'm 16, he's 22, 23, somewhere in that ballpark, only to find out he's a small-time pimp. And after he assaults me, he tells me I belong to him now. Now I am his, and I'm going to do whatever he tells me to do. And now I feel so abandoned by God. Let's pick up some abandonment. I thought God didn't love me. I thought he didn't care. I thought God had forgotten about me. And I wanted hope again. I wanted joy. I wanted peace. I wanted some of what my godmama used to tell me about when I used to sit and listen. But see, I was so far from God by my own actions. I chose to walk away from God because I felt like he had forgotten me. I felt like he didn't love me anymore. I felt like I was useless. I go through all of these things, carrying my bag of stuff with me. And I don't understand what's going on. But the whole time God is chasing after me. His love is pursuing me, saying, daughter, I love you. By a miracle, I leave that area that I was living in, get away from this guy. God restores me back to my family. I'm back at home. But do you know that that anger started getting really heavy? I was carrying it around like a badge now. The bitterness, everybody was going to know how angry and bitter, how mad I was at the world and how mad I was at God and how mad I was at everybody that ever did anything to me. And believe me, I had a list. I can remember colors. I can remember smells. I remember addresses. I knew what was going on. I remember every single thing. And I brought it up in my mind on a regular basis. But God was chasing after me, and amazingly, he would use two little girls at a camp. At this point, I was living with my boyfriend, my new boyfriend, one of many, who is a drug dealer, and we're just hanging out. And one day I wake up, and I'm like, why am I here? Why am I dealing with this? Why am I trying to be like this when this is not me? And you know, that was God chasing me. The Holy Spirit speaking to me. He was trying to get my attention. And so I decided I'm going to go to this camp and I'm going to work the camp and get away from everybody and blah, blah, blah. And so I go to this camp and I'm just enjoying just the whole, just freedom. It's freedom. And without knowing it, I had kind of laid down my bag. I didn't have it for like a whole month. And during that month, God started breaking down the walls in my life and in my heart and in my spirit. And these two little girls were sitting around a campfire and we're sitting there and they said, we have a song that we want to sing. And they start singing, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Oh, they are weak, but Jesus is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. And it was as if God came in and just shattered every lasting wall in my heart. And I was like, wow. I called my mom. I apologized to her because I was horrible. Very, very angry and bitter toward her. And God started to change my life. And she wanted me to go to that Bible college in Louisiana. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Jimmy Swagger Bible College and I'm going to be on fire for God. And so I grabbed my bag because, you know, you got to take your bag with you. So I took out the self-pity because I felt like, you know, okay, God took care of that. And let's see. We'll take out the anger because, you know, I'm not that angry anymore. So I'm going to take that out my bag. Let's see. What else do I have in my bag? Let me take that out. Let's see. What is this? Depression. I'm going to set that one to the side. Because I might need to go back there. I might want that. Let's see, what is this? Pain. I think I'm going to keep that one. That one's kind of part of me. And abuse, yeah, I need that one too. So I went to Bible college. My bag was much lighter, feeling much better. How many of you have lived this life? See, I go to Bible college. I'm on fire for God. I get filled with the Holy Spirit and I'm water baptized and I'm singing and I'm shouting and I'm preaching. But I'm empty. I feel like, you know, the one thing that I need is I need to get married. I need to get married. That's the whole reason why something still doesn't feel quite right. Even though I'm singing to people all over the world. And I mean, people know my name. So I just need to get married. So I pick a guy. That's pretty much how it happened. I was like, boy, he likes me. He's got a house. He got a sports car. And I like sports cars. I'm like, yeah, he's a good pick. He's got money in the bank. I'll take this one, God. God said, no. I said, yep. And he said, no. I said, yep. And I got married. Yep, that's how I went, pretty much, because we eloped and got married in our living room. And do you know that the next day, after we were married, I woke up and I said, dear God, what have I done? I had ignored every counsel from every person that could possibly give me counsel. And I, in my hard-headed way, wanted what I wanted. And so I wanted this man. And guess what came with him? Well, my depression came with him in like loads and loads. And I don't know what happened to all the money in the bank and that good job he had. But financial loss came, and that kind of stuck for a while. And I started getting angry, and I thought, you know what? I think I need to pick up my anger. Because this man is treating me like, you know, he shouldn't be doing this. Now, I am in a national known church ministry, living hell at home. He told me on a regular basis how stupid I was, how ugly, how I will never really be able to be used of God. Now, he didn't use those exact words, but the emotional abuse and the mental abuse that I went through for 15 years really caused that depression and that anger to cause me to have a hard time walking. And you know, when that came, it was like everything everybody ever did to me, that unforgiveness, whoo, had to add that to my bag. And that started really weighing me down because I realized, you know what? I didn't realize that all these other things are laced in unforgiveness. And then I added this big old block of unforgiveness. I mean, to the point where I was so ashamed. I didn't want people to know the kind of life I was living. The depression, the eating disorders, the crying, just wanting God to take me all over again. How did I get back to the same place I was when I was a little girl wanting to die as a grown woman in church ministering God's word? I had baggage. I had picked up the letter that the enemy wrote me. And I decided, instead of God's word, I'm going to believe my letter that I got from the enemy and see what it says. This letter he wrote me, I've been carrying it around. I need to have it because this tells me who I am, right? This is telling me who I am. It says, you're dumb, you're ugly, you're fat, you don't matter. God does not love you. Have any of you ever gotten that letter before? How many of y'all have carried it around? You might have even carried it in your Bible, so that you always had it with you, you know, because, I mean, you're a Christian dealing with all of these things. You're Christian. But, you know, the enemy has tricked you into believing that this bag of stuff that you're carrying around is worth something. You know, because this defines you. I mean, if I let all this stuff go, then who am I? You know, I mean, from the time I can remember, you know, I've always felt unworthy. I've always felt like, you know, God didn't really care. I mean, he's God, so he's got to treat me okay. But, I mean, it's obvious he loves some others way more than he loved me. Because if God loved me, why would I go through all of these things? Why would he allow this kind of pain to attack my life? If God truly loved me, why? You know, those are the questions that people ask hours upon hours upon hours in the day. Every second, somebody is asking why. Why does God allow these things to happen? And it goes back to Genesis. And sin entered the world. Pain, depression, abuse, all these things that we carry around, our letter from the enemy, our letter from the devil, all these things we carry around because one man chose to listen to the enemy. And because that one man chose to listen to the enemy, sin entered the world. And everything was stolen from us. So God sent a son, his only son, into this world to fix this. To fix this problem. He's like, I don't want you carrying around that bag of garbage. Why do you want to carry a bag of garbage around when I have so many blessings for you? And I said one day to God, I said, God, I cannot take this anymore. I have 3 children. I am dying inside. I'm trying to minister to people. But my pain is greater than anything that I can say to anybody else. I feel like a hypocrite because every time I open my mouth, I'm telling people that God loves them and that God cares and that God can change their life. And I feel like I'm dying. Why? And he said, are you ready to listen to me or are you going to keep yelling? And this is literal. This is literal. This is not made up. This is me. I sat down on the couch and I said, God, I need help. I can't continue to live like this. He said, can I have your bag? And I was like, but this is who I am, God. He said, can I have your bag? I'm like, well, I don't really want to give you my bag. He just said, can I have your bag? And I said, okay. Lord, I'm going to give you my anger. I give that to you. God, change me. Help me. Make me new. I don't want to be like this. Can I have your bag? Well, here's a depression. Now, please change me. I got to live for my kids. I've got to minister every single Sunday morning. I can't continue this. He said, can I have your bag? I said, okay. All right. Let me see. I'll give you the pain and I'll give you the abuse and I'll give you the financial hardship and God, well, Well, here. You can have everything but this. Because in this box is everyone that has ever hurt me. I've got their names. I've got the date. I've got the details. I've got the dreams. Everything is in this box. And it's the reason why I am who I am today. If it wasn't for them, I'd be free right now. And God said something to me. He said, if it wasn't for you, you would be free right now. See, it wasn't my unforgiveness of all the people that was keeping me from God. I mean, it was, but it wasn't. It was me. It was me wanting to see justice. I wanted to see them pay. I wanted to see them fail. I wanted to see them broke. I wanted to see them hurt. I wanted to see them depressed. Why am I the one dealing with all of this? Why can't they do this? But no, they just got a new car. They've got a beautiful family, got a high-paying job, and here I am. Oh, yeah, I gave you the financial hardship. Okay, God, back to my box. Oh, I forgot my worry. Do I have to give up my worry? Because, I mean, I can't have unforgiveness without worry, you know? I mean, it just kind of goes hand in hand. Because I worry all the time that if I let go of the unforgiveness that you're going to forgive them and that they're going to make it to heaven and they're not going to have to pay for what they did to me. I worry about everything. You know, I worry about my finances, my kids, my job, my ministry, my everything. And all right, Lord, you can have the worry, but I still have to keep this. And God said, you know what? I want to love you. I want to give you all the things that I have said in my word that is for you. Peace, joy, forgiveness. I want to restore back to you what is yours. See, you allowed the enemy to come into your life because of circumstances of life that happen. Because there's sin in the world. So when there's sin in the world, things happen. Bad things happen to good people. Because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. I am no one special. You know, as much as I'd like to have a crown on my head and a beautiful dress on my body, that does not make me a queen. And the only one in the whole world that doesn't have pain or doesn't have things come at them. God said, you are the one that is keeping you from all your blessings. You may have had prophecies come and tell you that you're going to do this and that. And you're wondering, why is none of this happening? Because of this. Because you are allowing these things to remain between you and your Father. Father God said, I want you to give this up. Because see, he's standing there, that's there, and I'm here. He says, it's time for you to let that go so that you can reach me. And with me is everything that you ever needed and everything you ever wanted. So finally, with understanding, I said, God, Lord Jesus, I've tried this forgiveness thing and it doesn't work. I've tried it and it's hard. And every time I try it, I just get mad all over again. Every time I see him, God said, I didn't ask you all that. I just asked you to give me your bag. That was it. make a choice. I made a conscious choice to give God the people that hurt me. And when I gave him those people, I had to walk away. I couldn't pick up the bag and put it all back in and take it with me. No, I had to leave it at the altar with God. And as I started to walk this new road with God, I learned restoration. I learned what it was to be redeemed. To have God come in and take my life and completely change it from top to bottom. See, when I was married, I didn't drive. I didn't wear what I wanted to wear. I didn't go where I wanted to go. I did what he told me to do. When I decided, gave a choice to forgive, it was amazing. The blinders went off. I realized I'm not stupid. I'm not dumb. I can drive a car. I'm not going to kill everybody like he said. I got my license. And I realized, I ain't ugly. I'm cutting my hair. I like short hair. I got a new attitude and new look. And the Lord started sending people to speak into my life. And I went from bowed down to standing up straight and realizing that when I ministered, I had a new purpose in my ministry to speak and to sing. And I didn't even realize it till I stepped back and I looked and I realized, I'm not dumb. I'm not ugly. I ain't fat. I gained a little bit of weight, but I ain't fat anymore. And you know what? I do matter. I do matter. My life matters. Because what I do impacts other people. And what I say may help change somebody else's life so they don't go down the same path I go down. And you know what? God loves me. He wrote a whole book just for me. And there's a whole lot of stuff in here that is for me. It's not for my neighbor. It's not for the prayer warriors at church. It's for me too. It's for everyone. And I realized that the Bible said that when we lay down our burdens, he replaces them with something light. And I'm like, ooh, I like my new bag. You know, because I need my bag. I'm going to pretend it's a Michael Kors. And I like my Michael Kors. So I wanted to look and see what was in my bag. And I had these cards. And then the cards said, oh, instead of all that garbage, I got these blessings. A good night's sleep. Because Psalms 127:2 says, he gives his beloved sleep. I like that one. Forgiveness. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he gave me love. I like my new bag. This is a nice Michael Kors. John 3:16, for God so loved the whole world that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Power over the enemy. Huh? You know we need that. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the God, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Power over the enemy. A light burden. Gave me a new bag. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's in Matthew. Joy, Psalm 71:23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. Faith, for we live by faith, not by sight. Health, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Prosperity, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory and peace. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God wants to give you a new bag today. He wants to give you a new bag to carry. He wants you to put down your bag of garbage and realize he wants to restore you. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you love. He wants you to see who you are. You are no longer the one that the enemy said you were. You are no longer that person. God wants to change you today. And I want you to understand that this is no longer you. God wants to redeem you.
All I could see was a struggle, haunted by goals that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures. Wondering how long is this gonna last? Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, child, stop fighting this fight. It's already been won. I am redeemed. Set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed, redeemed. All been called unworthy, named by the voice of my shame and regret. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your head, I remember, oh God, you're not dead.
restored, renewed. I have a new life in Jesus. I'm redeemed. When you came in, you got two pieces of paper. And there's a little table back. There were some pencils and pens. And I'm going to minister in the altar right now, and I'm going to sing this song. But I want you to take those two pieces of paper. And the dark piece of paper, I want you to write on it the things that the enemy has stolen from you, that you allow to either him come in and take, or that was just taken without your knowledge. Your health, your peace of mind, your family, your relationships. There's so many things that the enemy comes in and he takes your sanity, and you're just holding on by threads. Suicidal thoughts and cutting and bulimia and anorexia just constantly in your mind. Nobody knows all that's going on. Nobody knows all this pain and this anger and things that you've been carrying around all your life. You're good at giving a good smile. But God wants to restore. So I want you to take that dark piece of paper and write down things that God's been telling you today that it's time that you take back. Your peace. Your finances. Your relationship with your children or your siblings or your husband or whoever or whatever. His enemy has stolen your job during this coronavirus. Write that down. Whatever it is, write it down. And then on the light colored piece of paper, now I'm a crafty person, so I had to bring stickers because I believe stickers belong on everything. Everything. I even had a big Steeler guy on my MacBook Pro, you know, that, yeah, stickers go on everything. So anyway, so you got these little cards back there. And I want you to write, like I have in my bag. Where's my bag? I didn't do a real crafty job because I was in a hurry. But write down the things that God says he wants to give back to you. Decorate it. Decorate it with some stickers and, you know, doodles or whatever. When you go home, look up scriptures that go with that. Write the scripture on the back. And then put this somewhere where you're going to see it all the time. In your Bible, on your mirror, in your car. So that you can allow the word of God to begin to defeat the enemy that has been in your life. To cut the strings of the repetition of the same thing over and over again. Abused women marry the same man over and over again until God redeems them and restores them. And thank God I'm a restored woman tonight. Amen.